of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers about how to live the new life that we have in Christ. As a matter of fact, the book of Ephesians can really be divided into two main sections if you decide you want to read through that book. And the first three chapters really deal with the riches that we have in Christ, the spiritual blessings that are ours because of Christ. And chapters 4 through 6 begin to give us some practical application for our lives. And that is, now that we are in Christ and brand new creatures in Christ, have a new life in Christ, how are we to live that out in our life? And one of the ways that he expresses how we're to live that out in practical ways is the idea of putting on and putting off or putting away. There are some things that those who are in Christ need to put away in their life, things that are characteristic of the old man, of the old person, that is, of who we were before we came to Christ. He starts writing about it in verse 22 especially, where he says that you put off. Here's the idea of putting off, like you had put away the old. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former way of life, the old man. Put off the old man. The reason why is because he's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That is, the old corrupt man. The old corruption needs to be put off. And the Bible says in verse 23, that we need to be renewed or made new over and over again in the spirit of your mind. So putting off the old, ladies and gentlemen, and continuously applying and putting on the new in all the areas of our life, especially in the area of how we believe and what we think in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24 says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man is corrupt. The new man, ladies and gentlemen, has been made a new creature, righteous and holy. Put off the old and put on the new. And then he gets real practical beginning of verse number 25 when he says, wherefore. Now listen, when you see the wherefore, it's like the therefore. You see what it's there for. It means, based on what I just said to you, that is to put off the old corrupt man and put on the new righteous, holy man. Based on that, then here's some practical conclusions for your life. Wherefore, putting away lying. There's one of the things we need to put away. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away the lying and start telling the truth. And then in verse number 26, which is our main verse, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying to us that if we're going to live out the new life that we have in Christ, then we not only need to be putting away lying, but we also need to be putting away sinful anger. That is, anger that leads to sin. Putting away anger. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we need to deal with this, the reason why that Paul writes about it here, is because anger is a common experience for all of us as human beings. It's one that can quickly lead us into sin. Anger is a strong motivator. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it can be motivate us in the right way, but many times, because of our sinfulness, it can motivate us in the wrong way, and it can lead us into sin. Anger is just this strong, overwhelming feeling of displeasure and even hostility that you and I know much about. You know what anger is. Now, not all anger is sinful. As a matter of fact, some anger can be what is referred to as righteous anger. It can be the right kind of anger. We know that's certainly true of God, don't we? And that is, the Bible tells us a lot about the anger of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we read a lot about the anger of the Lord being kindled or set on fire. And that is God's anger, like in Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. But we know, ladies and gentlemen, that God's anger is not an anger that leads to sin, because God is sinless. It is a righteous anger. It's the right kind of anger. Righteous anger is anger that flows out of a love of righteousness. That is, that those who love righteousness become angry towards unrighteousness. And that is a righteous anger. We have some examples of that in the Bible, that is, of righteous anger. We find righteous anger demonstrated by Moses in the Old Testament and Mount Sinai. Some of you might remember the story in Exodus chapter number 32. And there's a Moses had been up in Mount Sinai, and he had met with God in Mount Sinai. He had received the law from God. He had those two tablets of stone that he had received, that God himself had etched those commandments in those tablets of stone. But in Exodus 32, beginning of verse number 15, the Bible says Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. One side and on the other they were written. The tables were the work of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. God wrote on those tablets of stone. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There's noise of war in the camp." That is, the people are noisy. Something is going on. Maybe there's a battle. Maybe there's a war. And he said, "It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." It doesn't sound like war to me. If it was war, you'd hear those who are the victorious or those who are in defeat, but they were singing and making merry. That's the voice that I hear, Moses said in verse 19. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh or near into the camp that he saw the calf. Now, the calf that he's talking about is the golden calf. You know the picture, the scene, don't you? While Moses is on Mount Sinai, the Israelites decided that he's not coming back down, and they're left without their leader. And so they decide that they're going to make a golden calf. And they spoke to Aaron, and Aaron finally complied, and they made this golden calf an idol, and they began to worship the idol, ladies and gentlemen. And in the process of worshiping the idol, they're committing all kinds of immorality and ungodliness. And Moses comes on the scene after being in the mountain with those tablets of stone, and he sees the calf, and he sees the dancing. And the Bible says this, Moses' anger waxed hot. Indeed, he was hot mad. Ladies and gentlemen, he was fired up with anger. And the Bible says he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mound. He took those two tablets of stones and he busted them up. That's how angry that he was. The two tablets that God had written on. And then the Bible says he took the calf, the golden calf that they had made, and he burned it into fire. And then he ground it to powder. And he strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink it. He sure did. He said, "You love this golden calf so much, then you can just drink the golden calf." The Bible says in verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And the Bible says that he answered. Here's what he said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what that is become to him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast into the fire, and out came this calf." Oh, Aaron. Yeah, all I said was just bring the gold, and I put it into the, put it in, I melted the gold, and out of it just came this calf, just like this. What I'm trying to get you to see is what righteous anger looks like. That is, the anger of Moses, ladies and gentlemen, is a man, a righteous man who's been walking with God, been given the law of God, who is angry at the sin and ungodliness that he sees in the camp. Now, that's righteous anger demonstrated by Moses at Mount Sinai. We also see righteous anger demonstrated in the New Testament by our Lord himself. And that is what we see it, of course, in the cleansing of the temple in John chapter number 2. Let me remind you of that story in case you have not thought about it for a little while. In John's gospel in chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting in the court of the Gentiles, the place where Gentiles are supposed to come and learn about God. Instead, it's become a marketplace." And that is that there are those that are selling animals for sacrifices, and they're making money, and they're exchanging the Roman currency for the shekel that's used in the temple, and they're making a lot of money off of it. And our Lord sees the corruption that's going on, ladies and gentlemen, right there in the temple area, in the court of the Gentiles. And the Bible says he made a scourge of small cords. He drove them all out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen. He poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold the doves, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remember that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." When you see our Lord doing that, you might think that he is angry. that he's displeased with what is going on. And that displeasure, ladies and gentlemen, spilled over into action, and he drove them out of his father's house. Now that's righteous anger. Righteous anger is the kind of anger like Moses experienced whenever you see people doing injustice and ungodliness, and it angers you, the ungodliness around you. And it may be the anger like our Lord displayed, and that is that somebody has come into your house and is making a house of merchandise out of it. If somebody came into your house and decided to take over your house, you might be upset about that enough to run them out of your house. That would be what our Lord did. That's his house. And there are those that have come in and corrupted his house and the purpose of his house. And ladies and gentlemen, that's righteous anger demonstrated by Moses and by our Lord. Now, when I'm talking about putting away anger, I'm not talking about putting away righteous anger. As a matter of fact, the command in the verse that we looked at in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, the command is to be angry, but don't let it be sinful. There are some things that you and I ought to be displeased about. There are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I ought to be a little bit angry about. Ungodliness and injustice should upset us a little bit. But the kind of anger that most of us struggle with is not righteous anger, but it is unrighteous anger that leads to sin. It's not anger that flows out of a love for righteousness, but it is anger that flows out of a love for self. That's what leads to sin. That is, we're angry because someone has said or done something to me. Somebody has done something to my family, my friend. Somebody has done something that affects me, and the selfish part of me is upset about that. And that is that I become angry. When somebody says or does something that has a negative effect on us or someone that we care about, there's an emotion that rises up within us. It's a strong feeling of displeasure or hostility. It is anger, ladies and gentlemen, that rises up on the inside of us. The anger that we experience on the inside of us oftentimes gets expressed in at least three ways. One of the ways it is expressed is in our countenance. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, 23, we read there about an angry countenance. In Genesis 4, in verse number 5, the Bible talks about Cain, and it says that Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. In other words, when God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's, he became very angry, and the Bible says you could see it in his countenance. You've seen that before, haven't you? You've seen somebody get angry, and you knew they were angry before they ever said anything. You could see it in their face. You could tell it in their expression. And you knew what was about to come. You knew that they were angry. It's revealed in our countenance. Anger is also revealed in our conversation. That is, in what we say. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1 that a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That anger is connected, ladies and gentlemen, to grievous words. That is, it's revealed in our conversation. That is, in the words that we speak. That is, in the words that we post. Express our anger and then stir up more anger. We'll say it again, the words that we speak and often that are often posted in our day, that's how we express our anger, by what we say or what we post. And listen, when you and I express our anger, that is our self-centered anger, it often stirs up even more anger. That's the reason why that you and I read right before we get to verse number 26 in Ephesians 4 about anger. The Bible talks about our tongue, what we say, to put away lying and speak truth. The reason why that verse is a neighbor to the idea of anger is because often anger is expressed through what we say. That's the reason why that Paul writes what he does in verse number 31 when he talks about putting away, getting rid of evil speaking. Evil speaking. The reason why is because oftentimes that's how anger gets expressed, not only in our countenance, but also in our conversation. But thirdly, it's in our conduct. And that is in what we do. Anger demands to be expressed. When anger wells up on the inside of you, it demands expression. and it gets it. You say, well, Pastor, I don't say anything, but it's all over your face. Those who know you well know that you're angry. You may not say anything, but when you turn that shoulder, that is when you turn that head, that is when your countenance drops, when you don't say anything, then everybody knows you're angry, and it's the same anger that motivates somebody to go ahead and say something. There's not any difference in the anger, maybe just a difference in the expression. It's expressed in our countenance, in our conversation, but also in our conduct, in what we do. What do we do when we get angry? Well, many times we engage in a verbal confrontation. Sometimes we engage in some kind of a physical assault. Those who are angry, physically assaulting one another. Listen, we read about that all the time. We hear about it on the news. What's motivating somebody to assault somebody else? Many times it's anger. There's a verbal confrontation. There's a physical assault. Sometimes it's just deliberate avoidance, like I spoke about a moment ago. That is, you're not going to say anything. You're not going to do anything. But that's just it. You're not going to say anything, and you're not going to do anything because you're angry. You won't talk. You won't do anything. Anger's welled up on the inside of you. Sometimes there are vengeful actions. Those who get angry become vengeful, begin to try to think of ways that I can get back at whoever it is or whatever it is that's caused this anger to rise up on the inside of me. My sinful, corrupt nature causes me to want to be vengeful. We find that Paul writes about that in Romans 12. Listen to what he says. In Romans chapter number 12, he helps us get helps with that with just a little bit anyway. In Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 17, where it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, live peaceably with all men. And here's how you do it. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't be vengeful. Rather, he says, rather give place unto wrath. That is to anger, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. When anger gets a hold of you, give place to it and don't be vengeful. And turn it over to God and let God take care of it. God says, vengeance is mine. Therefore, here's how you do. Here's what you were supposed to do. If your enemy, that is the one who has caused you to be angry, if he's hungry, go ahead and give him something to eat. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to do anything for that person. Why should I do anything for that person? Because the Bible tells you to. Isn't that enough reason? Don't be vengeful, but the Bible says if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. An expression that tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that by doing that, what you're doing is you're driving that person to the point of being able to see how much you love them, and you're just heaping more coals of fire on them. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't allow somebody's evil towards you to control your life. And that is by becoming angry and holding on to anger and bitterness on the inside of you, you give that person control over you. Their actions are controlling your life. See, what am I supposed to do? That is, you need to surrender to God. You need to put it away. Putting away anger, that is, anger, especially when it comes to our countenance, our conversation, and our conduct. This is the kind of anger that Paul is saying that you and I need to be putting away in our life. This is what we need to be dealing with, and that is what we are dealing with. It is anger that flows out of a love for self and that leads to these sinful expressions in our life. Instead of allowing anger to dominate our emotions and to become expressed in our countenance, expressed in our conversation, expressed in our conduct, Paul is urging us to put all of that away quickly. Put it away quickly and don't let it continue. As a matter of fact, he uses an expression here, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That is, that kind of anger, put it away quickly. Don't let the sun go down upon it. Get rid of it as fast as you can. Don't let it continue on the inside of you. Our Lord dealt with that as well in Matthew 5. Listen to what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5 and verse number 21, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said of them by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Well, sure, everybody's heard that. Moses said that in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. The Old Testament law demanded judgment upon those who murdered someone else. So Jesus said, I've got more to say to you about this. He said, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, that is an expression of anger, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, another expression of anger, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar, if you come to the temple to bring your gift, and then rememberest thou that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift. Leave your gift. Don't go ahead and offer your sacrifice. Don't go ahead and offer your gift before the altar, and leave and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. In other words, he's saying there's something more important than even the sacrifices that are offered at the temple, and that is to get as right as you can with somebody that may not be right with you. Listen to this. Agree with thine adversaries quickly while thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge and the judge to the officer and thou be cast into prison. That is, get these things settled as fast as you can, so that it doesn't just keep brewing and getting worse over time. And that is the idea of not letting the sun go down upon your wrath. Putting away anger as quickly as you can. Now listen, gentlemen, putting away anger is essential if we're going to experience spiritual growth. If we're going to experience spiritual growth in our life, then anger, that is sinful anger, has got to be put away. Putting away sinful anger is necessary, is essential if we're going to have meaningful relationships. That is, relationships in our family, our church, and among our friends. If those relationships are going to be meaningful and grow, then anger has to be put away. Anger destroys relationships. That is, putting away anger is essential if we're going to experience spiritual growth, meaningful relationships, and real unity. That is, if there's going to be real unity within our home structure, our church structure, ladies and gentlemen, our relationships, then anger has got to be put away. Anger destroys unity. If we're going to have a growing ministry, anger must be put away. The Bible demands in Titus 1:7 that a bishop, an overseer, a leader must not be soon angry. The Bible tells us, listen, if you and I are going to be able to, if we don't put away anger, listen, it's essential to put away anger if we're going to have healthy children. The Bible says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That is, healthy children, ladies and gentlemen, are raised by parents that are not angry. Put away anger for the sake of your children, or in the case of many of us, grandchildren as well. That is, angry parents and angry grandparents that are raising up children, listen, have a negative effect on them. Got to put it away for their sake. Listen, if we have strong marriages, then anger has to be put away. Seething anger on the inside. The Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So not holding on to anger on the inside of us is essential if we're going to have spiritual growth, meaningful relationships, real unity, a growing ministry, healthy children, and strong marriages. Listen, I'm trying to give you some reasons why we need to be putting away anger. We got to deal with this, don't we? That is the problem of sinful anger. Now, to do that, I want to spend some time just noticing the revelation about anger. And then I want us to just take some time looking about what the Bible reveals about anger. I want us to look at some statements about anger in the Bible, and then later on we'll look at some of the stories about anger in the Bible. The reason why we're going to do this is so that I can lay the groundwork for and help us to understand that we need to quit shoving this under the rug, we need to quit hiding this in the closet of our life, and we need to get anger dealt with in our life. If you've got a problem with anger, it's time to deal with it. It's time to put it away. You say, Pastor, that's just the way I am. That may be the way you were before God saved you, but now that's not the way you have to be now that you're saved. That's the point of Ephesians 4. This is something that now you can put it away. And I want to give you some reasons why you can do that. The revelation about anger, that is just looking at some of the statements in Scripture. When you read through the Bible, there are a lot of statements that explain the truth about anger. The Bible, the Scriptures state, that is, reveals and states to us the connection between anger and foolishness. There is a direct relationship between anger and foolishness. Listen to some of the verses. Proverbs 14:17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Those that get angry quick, hey, listen to me now, they do all kinds of foolish things and say all kinds of foolish things. There's a relationship between anger and foolishness. Proverbs 27 verses 3 and 4 says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath or anger is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Listen, anger, ladies and gentlemen, carries more weight than a big stone or a bucket of sand. You say, Pastor, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'd hate to carry stones around all day. I wouldn't be able to carry sand around all day. But you're carrying around something that is weighting you down more than that. It is anger on the inside of you. And the Bible tells us here, ladies and gentlemen, that that kind of anger is foolish. Why would you carry that around? You must be a fool if you're carrying all that kind of weight around in your life and dragging you down. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Don't be quick to get angry, for anger, listen to this, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Don't be quick to get angry, because you know who is carrying around anger on them? That is carrying it around on their chest? The fool is. The fool is. You want to look like a fool? Then just go around getting mad all the time. Now listen, you might get your way with a lot of people with your anger, but you're making yourself look like a fool by doing it. Y'all getting the point, don't you? I'm talking about, these are some statements in the Bible. That is, the Bible states the connection between anger and foolishness. The Bible also states the problem with anger that women struggle with. Now listen, ladies, if that makes you mad, then you're proving my point. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't say stuff like that. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. In Proverbs 21:19, it says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Now, why in the world would the Bible say something like that, ladies? That it's better for a man to live in the wilderness than with an angry, contentious woman. I know that probably none of your husbands or sons or men in your life are probably just going to pack up and move out into the woods. But I hope to goodness they don't feel like that they'd like to once in a while. Listen to what Proverbs 21:9 says. It said, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. And by the way, that's repeated twice in the Proverbs, in Proverbs 25:24. Listen, a man be better off, up on the roof, in the corner of the roof, that is, we might use the attic, in the corner of the attic, than in a big, beautiful house with a fighting woman, angry woman. What I'm trying to say to you, the Bible states the problem that women struggle with, that is the problem of anger. If that's true about you, then it's time to put it away. Put away the anger. Did you know the Bible states why it is that some men go buy flowers and other gifts for their ladies when they're angry with them? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:14, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. Yeah, there's something on the inside of guys that says, you know what, my wife's really mad, she's really angry, she's not speaking to me, and when she does, it's not good. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go buy her something and give her a gift. You say, why do we do that? Well, the Bible says that's the way we are. The Bible states that sometimes that's what us guys do. And by the way, sometimes it helps, doesn't it? Sometimes it helps. Did you know the Bible states that husbands can be the angry one at home? That's why Paul writes in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Don't hold bitterness towards your wife. Don't hold on to it. You say, well, Pastor, but you don't know what she did or you know how she acts. But listen to me now. Surely you're not going to hold on to that anger and bitterness on the inside of you when the Bible tells us not to. Don't you think it's time to put away that anger? That is, there are husbands that have been bitter and angry toward their wives, and they've been bitter and angry towards them for many years. Don't you think it's time to put that away? Put away that anger. Did you know the Bible states, we're looking at statements of the Scripture, the Bible states that parents can be the reason why their children are angry. The Bible says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In other words, the Bible is clear. One of the reasons why the children can become angry is because of their parents. You and I live in a generation of angry people and angry young people. And I'm not saying that every child is angry, but ladies and gentlemen, we hear about it, we read about it, and that is, it is an angry day in which we live. And one of the reasons why, ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons why among many others is because of the way that we parent today. And that is that we have created a selfish, self-centered generation that has learned anger as a means of getting what they want. You see, why are they that way? Because we have made them, we've raised them that way. Instead of teaching them love and respect. I'm talking about what the Bible states. Did you know the Bible states that people who get angry quick should not be church leaders? Titus 1:7, that a bishop or an overseer must be not soon angry. Shouldn't be a church leader. That is, if you're in a leadership position in the life of our church and you get mad quick over stuff, then you better put away that anger. Put it away. It's detrimental to you and also to the ministry you oversee. Putting away anger. You say, Pastor, that's just the way I am, but it's not the way you have to be. Not if you're saved. If the Bible is right in Ephesians 4:26, you don't have to be controlled by sinful anger. But you can put it away. And you should. Did you know the Bible states that we should not develop friendships and hang out with angry people? Proverbs 22 verses 24 and 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. Don't be hanging around with angry, furious people. Those who have anger problem, listen, they better not be the ones that you're buddying up with. And the Bible states the reason why. The Bible states here that anger can be learned from others. That is, if you're hanging around with angry people, you can learn to become angry as well. As a matter of fact, I've discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that for many and maybe the majority of people that I know that may have an anger problem, it is a learned behavior. You say, it's just my personality. No, it's probably just a learned behavior. You learned to be angry. You may have learned it from your parents, and you might have learned it from your friends. You might have learned it because it got you what you want. And that is, when you was little, if you got mad and threw a temper tantrum, then mom and dad were pacifying you and giving in to you and giving what you want. And you carry that over not only into childhood, but also into your teenage years, into adult life. And now you're trying to keep a marriage together and you're throwing temper tantrums in your marriage and you're throwing them at work. You're getting mad. And the reason why is because when you get mad, everybody pays attention to you and somebody's trying to pacify you and you end up getting at least a little bit of what you want. And so you learn that anger gets you what you want. It is a learned behavior. It sure is. And the Bible states in the verse that I just read to you, ladies and gentlemen, that anger is to the soul what a snare or a trap is to an animal. It sure is. It is like a snare to the soul. It'll trap you. Your anger will trap you. Some of the statements about anger, the Scriptures state that the way that we speak and the words that we say can either stop anger or stir it up. When somebody is angry with you, the Bible says you can turn it away. You can turn away wrath with a soft answer, or you can stir it up with a grievous answer. That is, the way you respond to it can either stir it up or slow it down. Did you know the Scriptures state that people who are angry are the source of division, arguing, and fighting? Proverbs 29, 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases, puts down strife, puts down arguing. Those who are angry, they stir up division, arguing, and fighting. Those who are slow to anger put it down. We're just looking at what the Bible states about anger. The scriptures state that godliness includes being slow to anger. Did you know God is slow to anger? Proverbs 103 and verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Psalm 145 and verse number 8 tells us that God is slow to anger. And we see that evidence throughout the Bible. And so those, listen, if God is slow to anger, then those who are godly, that is those who are like God, must also be slow to anger. In Proverbs 16:32, the Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. That's right. And he that ruleth his spirit, that hath some self-control, he that taketh the city, that is better than a mighty warrior, is those, ladies and gentlemen, who are slow to anger. Better than the mighty. In the day in which we live, you can think about your favorite hero. It could be your sports hero. That is the one who's able to dunk a basketball at every turn. The one who's able to hit a home run every other bat. Hey, the one who's able to throw or catch a touchdown or run it into the end zone. Whoever it is, the mighty in your life, and I want to say that somebody is slow to anger, listen, is better than the mighty. It's more important than that. More important, ladies and gentlemen, than a mighty warrior, more important than a successful athlete, are those who are slow to anger. A better quality than any of that. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Put off seeing anger. It is glory to pass over a transgression. That is, instead of finding people's faults and getting angry about that, they look over people's transgressions, the Bible says, and defer their anger. That's godliness. It's not that we don't see each other's shortcomings and failures, but we see them in a different light. Instead of seeing them from a selfish standpoint, a self-centered standpoint, ladies and gentlemen, instead of seeing them that way, that is looking at that person, their shortcomings and how it affects me, and how it impacts me, and becoming angry about it instead, we tend to forgive that person, pass over that thing, and therefore put off anger, deferreth anger. James chapter number 1, listen to what it says. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not, listen, the wrath or the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Sure. There's some things you need to be quick to do. Here's a couple things don't be quick to do. Don't be quick to speak, and don't be quick to get mad. But be quick to listen. Listen. You know that person, whoever it is, that's doing all that talking? And about the time that they start, you just jump right in and let them have it? Why don't you just, James is saying, give me some advice if you're going to be godly, just zip it up, listen, and don't get mad. Slow to anger, slow to speak, but eager to listen. That's why God gave you two ears and just one mouth. You need to be listening twice as much as you speak. If you can't do that, but listen to me now, you're going to make yourself look like a fool. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 in that love chapter. Remember, he's telling us how important love is? That is, in the life of the church, it's more important than spiritual gifts. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more important than understanding mysteries. It's more important than giving to the extent of giving your own life is love in the life of the church. And then he describes to us what love looks like. He says in verse number 4, charity or love suffereth long. It's long suffering. That is, it suffers long. The Bible says it's kind. That is, that those who really love each other are not only long-suffering, but they're also kind to one another. You say, Pastor, you don't know that person. Listen to me now. The Bible says if you love somebody, you're going to be long-suffering and be kind to them. And love envies not. It doesn't desire what somebody else has. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, is not full of pride, that like I'm better than that other person. I'm better than they are. They're lower than what I am. They're not as good as what I am. Listen, that may be true. They may not be as good as you are in some area. You may be better than them. But if you go around all puffed up, that's not love. And then it says that love, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't behave inappropriately. It seeketh not her own. And then there's that little phrase. I don't know why in the world the Bible has put stuff like this in here. Is not easily provoked. Those who love each other don't get mad quick and easy. Not easily provoked, and the Bible says, thinketh no evil, and here's one of the reasons why they don't get mad quickly is because they don't keep on thinking about the bad things that people do. They don't keep focusing on it over and over again. The reason why is because they love them. That's the idea here. Talking to you about what the Bible states. That is the statements in the Bible about anger. Listen, this Bible states that we need to put a stop to anger in our lives. Now, I'm just about done for this morning. The Bible says we need to put a stop to it. Psalm 37:8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Cease and forsake. Stop and get away from it. Our text says that you and I should be angry, but not to sin. Be angry at sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something that you and I need to put away. Now, we understand that, don't we? It's kind of the time of year where we put away some things and get out others. That is, it's the time of year that maybe you put away some old decorations. That as you've been putting out for the last couple of months, you've been putting out these nice, beautiful fall decorations. Maybe in your house, maybe on the outside of your house, and you've had the orange out, and you've had the leaves out, and you've had the fall decorations out, and you were just thinking the other day, you know what, I've got to take those down. And the reason why, because it's just about time to get all the red and white and green out. I've got to get out, I've got to put down the fall decorations and put them away, and I've got to get out the Christmas decorations and put them up. Some of you have been thinking that, haven't you? And the reason why is because we're passing from one season, one celebration to another. Well, listen to me. When God saved you, you passed out of one season of your life, the life before you were saved, into a brand new season of life that's going to last the rest of your life. And for that reason, there's some things that you need to put away. And there's other things you need to put on. And listen, one of the things you need to put away is anger. Sinful anger needs to be put away like an old wore-out decoration from the past. Listen to me. You don't need it anymore now that you're in Christ. Say it again. You don't need it anymore now that you are in Christ. Are you ready to put it away? You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to be preaching about that in the next few services. I don't know what to do, but let me just say it begins with just acknowledging that I've got this problem. I'm ready to deal with it and start surrendering it to your Lord. Bringing it to Him and say, God, I need your help. I need your direction. I need you to work a work in me so I can put this away and keep it put away in my life. Putting away anger. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, work in our lives, manifest your presence among us. Father, I pray, Father, that you'll work your work in the hearts of those who've never been saved. That God, you draw them to yourself, save them by your grace, work your work in them. Bring those individuals to the point of turning to Christ. And for your people, God, I pray that you'd operate in our hearts. And God, you'd show us those areas of our life that grieve your spirit, that quench your spirit. God, I pray, Father, we can repent and get all that surrendered to you and yielded to you. God, that we can put away the old and, Father, put on the new. Thank you for what you're about to do. Would you bless everyone here? Work your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.